Welcome to the Don and Wynn Show. My name is Wynn Free, and my co-host, Don Newsome, somewhere. Are you on the line, Don?
I'm on the line.
Yeah?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. You know what I want to say, don't you?
What's that?
So how you doing? But that's not really what I want to say.
Okay, I think I got these adjusted properly.
This is just carrying over from last week. And, you know, I was thinking about our show last week.
Right.
And, you know, we were kind of combative.
Why do you believe that?
Well,
can you speak up?
I'm just saying that's the way it was.
You think so?
Yeah. Here, so I'll be like you. I'll be this week like you were last week.
Okay? All right.
I'll just give you an example of it. I don't really mean this.
Okay.
So how come you say it okay, Don? I mean, is everything really okay?
Actually, you know, this is, it's been a really incredible week.
It has.
Absolutely. It has been an incredible week. And it makes me happy to be here and to be alive and to be doing BBS radio and to be here on the radio with you. It's been a great week.
But
extraordinary.
No matter how good the week was, did you know that right now we're starting from nothing?
Absolutely, every moment.
That's right. So we can't have a great week right now. We have to be nothing so that we can recreate nothing into something.
And then not enjoy it?
Well, once we create it, we can enjoy it. But
and we can't enjoy it during the creation, or what?
Well, we'll enjoy it when we enjoy. Well, you know, we'll enjoy it when we enjoy it. But, you know, well, the point is, you have to sacrifice sometimes a moment of your own enjoyment to create a new moment where you include others in your enjoyment.
I agree.
You follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
In other words, if you're just enjoying yourself, then there's, and you're filled with your enjoyment, there's no room to add anyone. Did you have anything you wanted to talk about tonight?
You know, I don't tonight. Wynn, no. I was going to leave that up to you, since tonight is such a short night. We got started late.
I have something I wanted to share that I think is fascinating. Did you ever hear of Philip Dick?
You know, it does ring a bell.
It does?
Yes.
He was a science fiction writer who, I think he died in 1982.
Right.
And he wrote some, you know, during his life, he was earned a living, but after he died, his books started to become big movies.
Right.
And Blade Runner was one of his books. And let me see, there was another one that Arnold Schwarzenegger was in. And
The Running Man?
Not The Running Man. Might have been. Maybe it was. I can't remember. But nonetheless, I happen, you know, every so often I put in keywords on the Internet because I try to find other people out there, just like you do. I have, you know, maybe different ones I look for. People out there who are having phenomenal experiences of some sort that sometimes, you know, they just have a lone website somewhere, but what they have is very important. Some, unless you look for it, you'll never find it. So I had done a search for, I don't even remember what I searched for. And I found something that Philip Dick had wrote, which was not actual. I might have sent this to you. Maybe that's how you know who he is. Because I thought it was phenomenal. What he wrote, like, something. It was entitled Exegesis. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
No.
Exegesis, E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S. And I read it, and I said, man, where is this guy getting his information? I mean, this was like 1978, because it precisely, or very closely matched, the view of the way things work that has been coming through the channelings I've been doing.
And you've been doing?
Or that I've been involved in, okay? And then I did a search on Philip. I'll see if I can find this now. And here's what I found. This was like on the internet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In February 1974, the science fiction author Philip Dick had an experience. And the experience was called an anamnesis. Did you ever hear that word?
Anamnesis. I never have, no.
Anamnesis is a Greek word meaning loss of forgetfulness. And he was waiting for a medication to be delivered for an impacted wisdom tooth, and when it arrived, the girl who delivered the medicine was wearing the fish symbol of the early Christians.
Right.
As a symbol on a gold necklace. Get this. A pink beam of light was fired from the necklace directly into Dick's head, and it temporarily blinded him.
When did this happen?
1974.
And how did it happen?
I'm reading this. This is all I know. I'm reading this to you. I'm going to read this to you.
You sure? Read it to me.
Huh?
Read it.
Let me finish. And then I'm going to read something this guy wrote.
Okay.
He recognized the girl as a secret Christian, as was he, and they both feared detection by the Romans. He was taken over and watched as the presence healed his four-year-old son's fatal birth defect and set his life in order. He called the presence vast, active, living, intelligence system. And it inhabited his mind for a year, during which time he could speak ancient Kon, a dead Greek dialect, Hebrew and Sanskrit, and had memories going back over 2,000 years. Information was downloaded into him in sessions lasting up to 8 hours, like a speeded-up film, and key phrases were given to him, which later formed the appendix of his novel, Valis, one of a set of three that he wrote after the experience, to try and explore possible meanings. During the years that remained of his life, he explored many religions, philosophies, and beliefs, and collected the ideas in an 8,000-page exegesis, one of the central and recurring themes that related to his experience was that of the Gnostics. And as you know, I first discovered, this is the guy who wrote a review about this guy, I first discovered the 2012 phenomena via the first edition of Terence McKenna's Invisible Landscape, which I read over and over again. The McKenna's experience, which led to their 2012 discovery, was a shamanic experience. Terence McKenna found a lot of explanation in the ideas of the Gnostics. But I didn't realize that until I finally got hold of the published extract of Philip Dick's Exegesis, in which Terence McKenna had written an afterword, and in that afterword he explains the synchronicities between his life and Dick's, and how they were both contacted by the same unspeakable something. Both thought that the Logos had traveled backwards in time from an Omega point to communicate with them, and both were thought to have become insane by their friends.
Interesting.
The case of Gopi Krishna springs to mind. The first Kundalini experience of Gopi Krishna resulted in a period of extreme anxiety, terror, and pain. And it took 12 years before the process was completed in Samadhi. That's pretty interesting, huh?
It is.
Now, let me just tell you. I just read this today. But I read something by Philip Dick, and I said, where did that guy get the information?
Yeah, amazing.
I mean, I'm going to read this to you because this is mind-blowing.
It is. And what's it called?
Well, I'm only going to email
it. Well, no, say it on the air so other people can...
Well, Philip Dick is a science fiction writer, and he kept some personal journals.
Science fiction writer.
And his personal...
Ouch.
His personal journals were called Exegesis.
Yeah.
E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S. And...
When did he die?
1982.
So he decided to write sci-fi.
Well, no, he was writing sci-fi most of his life.
Right.
Yeah. And
afterwards...
And then he
wrote this.
He didn't write what I just read you. That's what somebody wrote about him.
Yes, I know.
So, you know, when I read
Valis. Is that what he called it? Valis?
E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S.
Yeah, but what was the Valis?
V-A-L-I-S.
Yeah, what's that?
That was something. That was a science fiction thing he wrote, okay? I'm not on that page now, but when I read Exegesis, this one excerpt from Exegesis,
right,
said, this guy is describing exactly the same understanding I have that's come to me through the Elohim, okay? And through the Ra stuff, through David. And so I asked about it, and you know what they said?
Mm-hmm.
They said that was them communicating with him, and that he was an Elohim wanderer.
Right.
Okay?
I can believe that.
And,
sure.
And that was the source of his experience.
Amazing.
But listen, I think you'll find, if you find this uninteresting.
Now, here's something that's interesting.
Yeah.
Does anyone here know who Mellon Thomas Benedict is?
No.
Look it up. For anyone who's interested, look up who Mellon Thomas Benedict is. He, I got to tell you, out of all the near-death experiences I've ever in my life read about, his is up there in the top 1-2. Incredible story. And, folks, it'll make a believer out of you. You read it. But when you do get a chance, go over there because, he's going to be doing a show with us here soon with PBS Radio. Can you imagine that?
Good.
And he's going to have a regular show with us whenever he wants. It might be monthly or twice a month or once a week. I don't know. He's deciding. And he and his people. But it could be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, if you're curious, I'm always curious. Check out who Mellon Thomas Benedict is. It should be fabulous having him as a part of this.
What was his experience?
I'll let you read it. I won't say anymore.
Is it on your
website? It's worth reading. If you're not willing to read it,
Is it on your website?
No, it's not. That's why this is kind of like the people who are listening to the Don and Wynn show get a first peek at this. And, we said we were going to give away a T-shirt, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be part of the question.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So would you like to hear exegesis? How do you pronounce that?
Exeges?
E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S. Exegesis. Okay, got it. Exegesis.
Sounds like you got Tourette's.
This is what Philip Dick wrote that I found that blew me away.
All right.
You ready?
Sure.
Now, it's pretty heady. He's a pretty, pretty heady guy, but the concept. Okay. The belief that we are pluriforms of God voluntarily descended to this prison world, voluntarily losing our memory, identity, and supernatural powers, all of which can be regained through anamnesis, that's when you get your memory back, is one of the most radical religious views known in the West. But it is known.
Right.
It is regarded as the great blasphemy, replication of the original sin, mentioned in the first book of Adam and Eve and in Genesis. For this pride and aspiration, our original fall and exile and punishment are being taken from our home in the garden land and put into the prison was inflicted on us. They wish to be equal to like us, the Elohim say, and toss us down. Yet I have reason to believe this great satanic blasphemy is true. Now, don't worry if you don't understand. You'll hook in. First, we are here voluntarily. We did not sin, and we were not punished. We elected to descend. Why? To infuse the divine into the lowest strata of creation in order to halt its decomposing, the sinking of its lower realm. This points to a primordial crisis in creation in the total macrocosm. The yin form part was splitting away from the yang. In conventional terms, heaven, the upper realm, and earth, the lower realm, were separating, carrying the lives within the lower away from their form, one counterpart.
Incredible.
This can be viewed as Godhead itself falling apart into its yang and yin two halves, with the lower form universe as God expressed physically in time and space.
Yeah.
The solution was for the divine, the yang, to follow the lower realm down, permeating it, and thus reuniting the cosmos into one totality. To do this, elements, in ancient terms sparks of light, advanced, descended into the dark kingdom, the immutable prison world. Upon doing so, they shed, and they knew they would shed, their bright nature, their memory, their identity, their faculties and powers, and fell under the dominion of the delusion that the dark kingdom is real, which when severed from the upper realm, it is not.
That's chilling. That's chilling.
The world we presently live in doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
There they have lived as prisoners of the master magician, the lord of the dark realm, who poses as the creator, and who may not know of the light god, the true creator, his other half. But the light god and his pluriforms, the descending invading sparks, have cunningly distributed clues in the dark realm to recall to the drugged and intoxicated sparks of light their true nature and mission and their true source of home. Upon encountering these cryptic clues, the forgetful sparks of the upper realm, now prisoners in and of the lower realm, remember, regain their powers and faculties, and link back up with the upper realm and the light god. They are the light god in pluriform, his way of invading the lower realm in disguise. The light god, the divine, has now crucially occupied critical stage stations in the sinking lower realm and begins the re-annexing of it back into the totality composed of both realms. The sinking ceases, the master magician is stripped of his autonomy and assimilated to the yang part of the Godhead as its passive counterpart, and once more there is one macrocosm ruled by the yang, or creative light god, assisted by the now receptive yin. The divine has triumphed at all levels. The prison is burst, and the vast light-filled garden kingdom restored as the home of all creatures. These now whole creatures, composed equally of yin and yang, are what I term homeoplasmids. The yin part is home, as we know ourselves to be now only, and the light or yang part is the plasmate or energy part versus the physical. Thus, renewed and complete microcosms, mirroring the renewed and complete macrocosm, are achieved. Reality is imparted to the otherwise surreal lower realm, and the upper realm now extends physically into the realm of matter.
Yes, in fact, whoa, stop right there. Do you know who's been saying exactly what you're reading?
Who?
Michael Sharp.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly what you're saying. That's what Michael Sharp has been saying all along, folks. Mm-hmm. We've had him on our radio program. Mm-hmm. I mean, quite similar, that the physical universe is going to ascend. And the required energies involved. That the two, what they both talk about is remarkably similar. Yeah, chillingly so.
1978, the guy wrote that.
Hmm.
So we are the pluriforms. We are the parts of that came down and descended into this realm. And finding the clues to figure out what it's all about. And that's what you're doing.
Did Michael Sharp ever read this guy's information?
I don't know if I sent it to him or not. I'll have to check and see.
I'd love to know.
He'd probably be fascinated by it, huh?
Well, I think, well, yeah, either that or he's read it or, I don't know. I'd be curious to find out.
I doubt if he read it. I mean, this is one of those things that, I believe the reason I found it is because I did a search on the Elohim.
Right, right.
And it came up.
Yeah, I know. I'm just curious.
Otherwise, who would find it?
Yeah.
You know? Kind of like obscure.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But the guy is an Elohim.
Well, his story is remarkable, and it rings true for me. It really does.
Yeah.
You know, he isn't saying anything too different from what I envision.
Right.
So, he's just putting a different spin on it. But it really, they're all saying the same thing if you listen hard enough.
Uh-huh.
And eventually people finally get it, huh?
Bush is not saying this.
Well, hey, you know, Bush is playing his role. He's just overextended his role.
Uh-huh.
And, either he'll tune in or he won't. You know, that's up to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, what choice he makes. I hope he makes the right one. But he has never not shown that ever to be the case. As a human being,
never made the right
I worry
one.
About him, huh?
Never made the right one yet.
Well, yeah, he's acted. I mean, it's hard to label him as a human being, isn't it? I mean, human being that would do what he does to other human beings. Nah, it's tough. I mean, no matter how justified you are, you got to be a little whacked.
Did you see that he's hanging out with people like McCain and
Clinton? Bush is to me so whacked. It's so, I don't even want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
He's insane beyond insane beyond insane. He's out there. Swimming in his mind, and I, you know, for the life of me, what's in it is not that good.
So, what's the latest on Earth changes?
Well, what do you think? I mean, I've heard a lot of people tell me a lot of things, and. You know, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, I could tell you what I've been told.
Tell me what you've been told.
All right. For our listening audience, you know, you got to know I put on a lot of these shows here, help produce them, and so I usually am privy to what a lot of the psychics and a lot of the wonderful show hosts are thinking. And they often discuss it with me. So let me give you a little generalities, what they really think. Well, some of them think that 2012, that's it. You know? But they're in the minority. Most of them think we'll go on beyond 2012, just as we always have. But some of them think that... there's going to be bigger changes before now and then. And that, I think, is probably the majority. Before 2012, majority of Earth changes. And some of them think they're coming between now and August. In fact, many, many of them think that something pretty wild, extensive, is going to occur between now and August. or through August. Me? I don't know. In fact, some are so... I mean, some actually believe it'll happen within the next 2 months. Some in the next month. Where, you know, the one I just spoke to said, no, nothing's really going to happen. Nothing like that. Not for a few years. So what do you... I mean, who knows? You know?
Huh?
You never know. I could put... Really, you could do an experiment, but it's really hard to find out.
Let me see. In a recent channeling, I asked a bunch of questions about this.
You've been doing a lot of channelings lately.
Well, I'm working on a new book.
Yeah? Anything good in them?
Well, yeah, they're really good. They're really good. They're different, you know? What I'm doing is I'm asking questions about the human experience and how to work it,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. And they're answering. And they're answering from just an awesome perspective. You know, I was going to send them to you, but you've been so caught up that I didn't think you would be receptive. So I'm waiting for you to have some space.
Right. Thank you.
Okay? You don't need anything now, okay? So let me see here. I asked the question... in terms of earthquakes or volcanoes, are these things still being decided, or can they be foreseen as to when and where? And the answer was, it's still being decided, the time frame.
Yeah, you know what I told Chris Moores yesterday? You can put me on, you know, as on record as saying this. Now, I may be right, I might be wrong, but I think that if we go to war... I truly believe this, folks. If we go to war in Iran, earth changes will begin in earnest. If we don't go to war in Iran, then there'll be a much gentler ride in the next year. That is what I feel. And if the war breaks out next year, then it'll begin next year. But I think they're interlinked cosmically. And I think the aliens, or Mother Nature, whoever's been trying to tell us this, because the last hurricane that hit Louisiana, remember when they took those satellite photos?
Yeah.
And it showed a two? Do you remember? Two. In the top of the storm, right in the eye?
A two?
Yeah, you can read about it on the TNT board, if you ever want to go digging. We have an original, well, you know, but it was actually... one of the satellite black and white photos of it taken, and it shows a two right in the eye of it. Well, like someone drew it with a pencil perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And they were claiming that it was a five and then a category three. You see, some weird things have been... and then it would take out a place like New Orleans, the oil, mm-hmm. and everything. So, and then this last storm, think about it. Yeah, everybody's heard about it. Just occurred about this set of tornadoes that took out that military base, the planes.
Where was that?
Some of them. I don't know. I think that was posted in T-Board, too.
Was this recently?
Yeah, a few days ago, I think.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I may be reading something into it, but I think it's really a warning.
Here, let me see.
If we go to war, things get really bad, because with all the people in the United States that are against Bush... and his decisions, which is the majority now, if we were to allow, I mean, actually, believe this, this is the wildest part, folks, we could actually, if he decides to go to war in Iran, we, if we let him go to war, have actually allowed him, even though he doesn't have our approval. Wow. Doesn't grab you. He can actually try to do that. He go to war even though he does not have the approval of the American people. Will he be that bold? Yeah, I think he will. And the question is, are people going to stop it before this becomes inevitable? He He's a funny man. He's a funny little man. Sorry, that was derogatory. Forgive me.
Yeah, no judgment.
Yeah. I succumb to that myself every now and again, and I apologize.
Are you judging inside of yourself?
Well, I guess so. I must be, you know. Otherwise, I wouldn't be making judgments. So, in one way or another, yeah, I guess I'm making self-judgments.
So, you want to hear when the most intense changes are going to occur, according to my source?
I would love to.
2012 to 2017. Up to 2030 before things begin to stabilize.
Well, you know, that and Michael Scallion would have a lot. They would be pretty harmonious, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Is that what Michael Scallion says?
Yeah, something similar. Hold on, stay with me. Oh, that's my main line. So we'll ignore it.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Here's some very interesting information.
All right.
And
now remember, we got to give away a T-shirt here today. Not a T-shirt. It's actually, excuse me, folks. It's not a T-shirt. It's a polo shirt,
okay.
And it's a beautiful one. It's got the BBS logo on it.
You know, I asked about nuclear bombs and war. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that one was that it's much more unpredictable. And that they can't predict what the human is going to do or not do.
Right.
And they can change certain things. Or another person can change something. But one of the things they did say, and that is that the very worst death experience is with a nuclear blast. Did you ever hear that?
Well, of course, because it not only rips apart the fabric of the human entity, the physical entity, but an atom would also, I think, tear apart the fabric of the etheric energy, which is on a higher vibration, and it would
multidimensional.
Sure, and it would actually destroy. It would definitely damage, I think, the any entity in that area.
Well, what they say is that if a human is caught in the center of a storm and
right.
vaporized,
right.
their soul gets fragmented, and it can take millions of years to put the soul back together.
Sure, I can believe that. That's why nuclear war is so sick, folks.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, I mean, when you're breaking apart an atom, I mean, sure, that's great. I mean, we know how to do it, but when you're using it, as a weapon to kill, as extraordinary as the energy, the power is released, you're really having that effect even on the etheric. And I personally don't believe that's ever going to happen here again on this earth. I think it has been forbidden, and I think it will no longer be an option. However, that is what I feel. I don't know that to be true. In fact, many sources tell me exactly the opposite. But if I have, you know, some faith in channelings, and some of the good, best ones that I do have belief in are saying that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know, but I'm fairly confident that there's going to be a nuclear war.
Now, I asked them.
Mm-hmm.
I asked them about interventions.
Yeah.
And what they said, this is a very interesting answer. They said, in our realm, intentions are prayers, and they can't violate collective intentions.
Mm-hmm.
So if the collective prayer becomes, get them, you know?
Yeah.
That might cause them to stay back and let something happen.
Correct.
That's the key. It's like we are, but then I asked how an intervention could happen. And I said, how would you stop it? I said it could be from an individual on Earth who did not wish it, and then we would work to support them.
Mm-hmm.
Seek ways or avenues.
So what do you think? Now, enough of that.
I don't know anything. I'm just
what do you personally think is going to happen this year? Anything?
I'm a dumb human.
I know. So am I. But you're honestly often telling what others may think, what that you're hearing, like I do. But I said what I think's going to happen. What do you think's going to happen?
Well, I don't have an opinion. I don't know.
Really? You never have an opinion about anything?
I know that I'm going to do a conference call this Monday. I know that.
Do you feel anything do you feel anything personally? Any psychic feeling, intuitive, personal feeling about this year at all? In any way, shape, or form?
I think there's going to be a lot of changes.
Really?
I don't know what that means.
Do you feel it?
I sense it. Good. I don't think I need to be psychic.
I know. I hear you. I was just curious. You know, how are we going to give away this T-shirt?
Well,
you were talking about Philip Dick. Is there anything that you think these people should know about him before that they can find on his website? If someone emails me the answer,
we don't have enough time. We don't have enough time.
All right, then how are we going to give away this T-shirt?
How are you going to give it away?
Why?
Let's see. I would say a good way to do it.
Don't make it hard on him. I want somebody to get a T-shirt. And I got a mail. I just got the box here, folks. And we're going to be mailing out the other two to two people that already deserve them.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with me. This is a caller. Hello.
Hello, Frank.
Yes.
Well, guys, this is my co-host.
You want to get online with us? Well, you want
to
get on the air with us?
Alrighty.
All right, stay with us. Okay, you're on the air.
Okay, name's Brian, and I would just like to comment on the nuclear war idea. You already have what is, in effect, a nuclear war occurring because depleted uranium is being used.
Good point.
In the Mideast.
Good point.
And the tonnage is equal to tens of thousands of Nagasaki bombs.
Uh-huh. Good point.
And it's a scientific fact that DNA, our uranium binds to DNA. So we're all falling apart because of this. It'll just, if there's a...
But I also think there's ways now a healthy body with the proper science behind them can actually prevent himself from that kind of poisoning. It's something you should maybe talk to Dr. Fred Bell about. It's quite an interesting discussion because many scientists have discussed it with me now. But needless to say, we do have the problems of the past, but what I was saying is a feeling that I'm getting is that from the channelings that I believe is that any nuclear warheads, and any nuclear type of weaponry that is assembled and ready to go has been decommissioned, removed, taken. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, there's been enough reports from military personnel stating that UFOs have went over their bases and have absconded with their warheads, nuclear warheads that have been in the bases or in the silos, and this has been happening from what I hear quite a bit. It does.
Right. Well, let me ask both of you, if I could, your perspective on this idea.
Mm-hmm.
What if we believe that our reality is manifested by ourselves?
Right.
What if we just say to ourselves, there can't be a nuclear war?
Then there can't be a nuclear war, can there?
I think you're absolutely
right. I think you're right on.
If we have enough people saying that, see,
there's the key, isn't there?
Yeah. One person can't do it because it's a collective prayer, so to speak. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a collective intention.
Right.
And so, but one thing is, I don't know if you have you been listening to our show for more than once, Brian?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I have this thing where there's these group souls that are paying attention to us, and that they can actually attach themselves to our prayers as long as our prayers are not self-serving for the highest good. So that's one of the reasons it doesn't take as many people praying for a positive thing to get more support in changing the hologram for it, you know.
Well, I if you go through your whole site and do the reading and do the listening, one has to take the attitude that it's a spiritual war going on. It's not I don't like you and you don't like me.
Oh, I agree. Right. I think you're right on.
And if we say, for instance, the dark side feeds off of fear and negativity, and if we just if our reality does not allow those emotions to manifest, then we take away their power.
I agree. You're stating something that we've been trying to state here for a long time. You're right on.
Now, if it doesn't work out, I guess I'll have a chance to ruminate on this in the dimension.
Well, I think really what it comes down to, and this is what I guess, is that really what many people are preaching, and I'm sorry, bad word, forgive me, what many of the spiritualists are saying and imparting, let's use the word imparting because it's much more appropriate here, what they're trying to impart is that somehow between now and the next decade or so, there will be a 100th monkey theory will come true. In other words, there's going to be some UFOs, aliens are going to come all enlighten us, or we're going to be all enlightened instantaneously, or Armageddon's going to occur, or the big revealing, or the energies of the galactic center are going to be extremely profound, or we'll be all be able to see in the fourth dimension, and we'll immediately go into the photon belt, and the energies are reversed, and be on photonic energy, or whatever it is the case. There's a billion of them. I've read them all. I love them. They really do have an underlying current, and that is big change is coming very soon. So, and it is something that is spiritual, and it does involve some form of a battle.
Well, I think the answers are staring us in the face, and certain realities are reflected at so many different levels. When people have trouble with the idea of aliens and
well, it's a personal battle. Remember that. That's the thing. It's a personal battle. That's
yes,
the thing.
It is.
It's we're coming down to that. It's a real personal battle that we all need to win. And
if we're all one. I mean, it really comes down to just, hey, what do I want to believe in?
I agree. You're right on. I love listeners like you.
You know what's interesting too?
Tell you what,
people have trouble with the concept of aliens and their view. It occurred to me at 4 o'clock in the morning this morning when I was sitting up in a chair just thinking that it's such a myopic view. I mean, here we are on a planet in space in a solar system, circling around the sun. We are aliens.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
Brian,
exactly.
Brian, I want to ask you something.
Well, before you do, I just want to say the person who was going to win the T-shirt was the first person to call in.
Just so Brian.
And you won it.
There you go.
So what we're going to do is after we hang up here, I'm going to get your address from you. Or can you email it to win or to me at contact at bloginservice.com.
Yes.
We'll have it out Monday.
Well,
and also, thank you very much for calling. I know we got to wrap this up, but you know, folks, Dr. Fred Bell's coming on
next.
I
was going to ask him a question. No, I can't ask him.
Well, you can ask him on the air. Call in. It's question and answer.
Oh, no.
With
Brian.
Oh, okay. Well, we can go in another 30 seconds, I think.
Another 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Brian. Forget it.
Well, I can go. Look, folks.
Well, listen. We all love Fred. Fred Bell.
We don't have to be that stickler on here. Let's close the usual manner and let's ask away.
Okay. Okay, well, what I was going to say was, or ask, is that you obviously have a fairly astute, enlightened view of what's going on. How many people in your own personal environment can you share that with?
Zero.
Zero. See, this is what's going on, that we have this inside click. They listen to blog in or they read a certain book. And we need vehicles to share this, not in an incendiary way, in a way that gets people upset, but in a way that people are joining in the consciousness anyway. Nobody wants war. Nobody wants it. But there's still enough fools out there that don't understand the big picture. So, you know, my goal is to find ways fast. I mean, this is an urgency. Find ways fast to uplift things. That's one of the reasons I'm doing this conference call every Monday and Tuesday. And anyone that wants to participate on it, please email me, and I'll give you the phone number, because there's an incredible uplifted energy, and we're actually communing with the group's souls on the conference call. People are getting amazing experiences. So the veil is small. Now we got a call in the light, right, Don? And then we're going to give it over to Fred Bell. Brian, thank you for calling. Are you there?
I'm here, and we're just going to wrap it up with your calling in the line.
We're still on the air. Okay.
We are still on the air, but we need
right.
to come off.
So
thank
those
you.
Of you that are with us right now, ask just to relax, turn down distracting things in the background, and imagine that you're not just the body, that you are a part of God, a pluriform, as was called by Philip Dick. You are a piece of energy, and you're a piece of energy that's connected with all other energies. And that energy right now is occupying that physical body. And the physical body is going to come and go, but that energy is going to stay. And that energy can connect and commune with other energies. And right now, while we're on the air, and while you're listening, I want you to visualize your energy and our energy and all our listeners' energies touching each other and connecting with the energy which we could call the oneness that radiates from the galactic center, and connecting with all those positive group energies on the other side that we've been referring to as group souls that are here to join with us and help us, and see our energies around the planet. See that energy, that light energy with George Bush, with those people in Washington. See them not as enemies. See that this energy can reach their hearts. See that this energy that can reach those people that are making decisions, and that they might be moved to make those decisions that go in a different direction than war and hate and self-servingness.
Thank you, Wayne.
See those energies that people will find each other in their locations, in their locales, the spiritual people that can turn to each other and reach towards each other. And I send you all my light and love, and Hildy, if she's listening, special big hug for her. And Don, we can sign off now. We've done our due diligence.
Okay, well, folks, good night. We'll be bringing Dr. Fred Bell on here in moments, and it's question and answer period with Dr. Bell, or exchange your question for an answer evening. So stay tuned. It should be fun. Thank you. You have been listening to BBS Radio, a bloginservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.